My name is Michael Stollard, and my website is connectionculture.com. And then I have a personal blog, michaelleestollard.com. And I'm president and co-founder of E Pluribus Partners, which is a consulting firm based in Greenwich, Connecticut. The title of my most recent book is Connection Culture, The Competitive Advantage of Shared Identity, Empathy, and Understanding at Work.
Talking this morning with Michael Stollard of E Pluribus Partners, and boy, I'm so happy to be talking to you about this because this is a troubling topic, and we're talking about loneliness. And let's begin by describing how this can hurt our health.
Well, Pat, recent research came out last year at the big annual conference of the American Psychological Association. Julianne Holt Lundstedt, who's a professor at Brigham Young University, unveiled research. It was a huge study that she did, and it showed that loneliness, in other words, people when they feel lonely, and social isolation, when they're just not around people, has a very, it's associated with premature mortality that's equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And it's actually worse than obesity in terms of effect on health and lifespan. And the reason for this is that we're hardwired to connect as human beings. It's really baked into our nervous systems. When we are lonely, it triggers the stress response, which allocates blood, glucose, and oxygen to the fight or flight systems, the heart, the lungs, the big muscles, and it under-allocates to parts of the brain that affect memory, the digestive system, the immune system, and the reproductive system. So when we're stuck in that state of stress response, we don't feel well, and often it triggers addictive behaviors. But when you can imagine, if your immune system is being under-resourced, oxygen and glucose, which is a form of fuel, a type of sugar in a sense, then it's not going to perform at its full strength. And it just makes us vulnerable to sickness and disease.
And, you know, if you're feeling, at least for myself, if I'm feeling lonely, I feel down. And it's even affected in my posture and in the way I move around in the world.
It is. It has a profound effect. And Matthew Lieberman, who's a neuroscientist, I like what he says, that the opposite of loneliness is connection. When we feel connected to a group of people, you know, who have our backs, who support us, who encourage us, who speak truth to us when we need to hear it. And he calls it a superpower. He says connection makes us healthier, happier, smarter, and more productive, which is so true. And it does more, even more than that.
The Parkland, Florida shooter, they were talking about how he didn't have a single friend.
Well, and there is this cycle of loneliness that starts. When people start to feel lonely, Pat, they actually exhibit self-defeating behaviors that push them away from other people. And it can just really start this cycle where they become increasingly lonely, more aggressive. They're less able to reconnect. And so that's why it's important for all of us to really be on the lookout for people in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, our family members. If they're starting to withdraw, to really throw out a life preserver to them to help them reconnect. And I'm really sensitive to that now. I actually look for people in my community, you know, who go to our church, wherever, where I feel like they're on their own. I can just reach out to them and connect and try to learn more about their lives and see if I can connect them to someone who has maybe shared interests or from the same town, things like that. Just looking for ways to connect them to other people.
I can imagine you doing this in your old job on Wall Street, looking for loneliness. You'd never have done that, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I really became aware of that I was lonely when I was working on Wall Street and Katie, my wife, was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer. And I just saw this great culture of connection at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and I ended up leaving Wall Street and starting a firm to focus on that because it was such an eye-opening experience for me. It changed me. And now we actually do work with Sloan Kettering. We teach new supervisors in the ambulatory care group. We teach them how to create a culture of connection. And that actually, it's a big issue in healthcare, but also in law and Wall Street, the engineering, you know, the task-oriented professions, Pat, are particularly vulnerable to loneliness. And so we've done work with the engineering section at the NASA Johnson Space Center, with Qualcomm, with Turner Construction, just a lot of the professions where people are more vulnerable to loneliness and need to be more intentional about creating a culture of connection.
It almost seems that technology promotes loneliness, or at least turning inward and isolating ourselves.
Well, that's a good point. I think that it's very much on people's minds these days, and it should be, because I think it's we can deceive ourselves about how much time we're spending in front of screens. And the research shows, and I have an article on my website that people can look at some of the original data if they want links to it. But research shows that the average American adult spends 10 hours a day now in front of a screen. Mm-hmm. And that almost crowds out, you know, when you consider sleep and commute and taking care of, you know, personal things, that crowds out most of our time for face-to-face interaction. And it's that face-to-face interaction where we experience shared understanding, shared empathy, that really has a very positive effect on our bodies and our lifespans and productivity. Just really all of our body systems move in a positive direction when we have that sense of connection and support from people.
What can we do about that, especially if we're a worker bee in a large organization and we're feeling cut off? Can we take steps to not be so lonely and isolated?
Absolutely. That's the good news. You know, this is something that we can solve. We have to take the initiative. And it really starts, Pat, with cultivating the right mindset that we need connection. It's a need, not a want. It's mandatory to thrive in life. And so we need to develop human connections and start with that mindset. Then we can take practical actions, such as taking time to get to know our colleagues at work. We can ask them about their stories. I remember I met with David Bradley one time, the founder of Atlantic Magazine. We had lunch together, and I remember one of the first things he said was, "Tell me your story, Mike." And he almost wouldn't let me turn the attention to him. He really wanted to understand my story, and that always stood out to me. But, you know, we can do that over lunch, over coffee. We can get people out socially. We can also, like we talked about earlier, just keeping an eye out for people who seem to be lonely and struggling. Oftentimes, this will come out during periods of change when people feel greater stress. And that's part of the equation here, too, Pat, is we need that connection to cope with stress. And the combination of high levels of stress and loneliness are especially have a negative effect on our health and oftentimes drive people to addiction.
Did you see, I think you are really onto something here, because did you see there is a movement now in high schools and actually middle schools too? And I wish I knew the name of the movement, but it seeks to not have anybody eat lunch alone. And they seek out people who are maybe sitting by themselves all the way off in a corner in the lunchroom. And they make a friend by going up, sitting down and saying, "Hey, can I sit here? Can I join you for lunch?" So maybe you are on to something here.
Yeah, we do work in education. We have a center based on our work at Texas Christian University, TCU in Texas, and they were just recognized by the Wall Street Journal as the number two most engaged student body in America. And it's, you know, they invest heavily in getting freshmen because it's a very stressful time in life for people to start college. They're away from their families. You know, there's social stress, there's academic stress. And the students who perform the best and actually graduate within 4 years, TCU has a graduation rate around 90%. It's the students who have high degree, you know, they have their support group. They find their tribe on campus that really helps them get through those stressful, mostly academically stressful times. Yeah. And now other universities like the University of Texas are putting programs in place to be more intentional about connecting their students so that it'll help them perform better academically and graduate.
how should we conclude? What would you like to underline or stress, or maybe answer a question that I didn't ask you about today?
Well, I would encourage people to go to our website, connectionculture.com. We have resources there. If this is an area of concern to them, then get the Connection Culture book. It's something you can read in a night. It's a pretty quick read, but it'll really help equip them to understand the issues and to be more intentional about connecting in the workplace. But a lot of these things are also, you know, relevant in the home. I've learned that as a father. My daughters were empty nesters. Now my daughters are grown women. Mm-hmm. But having that connection, I had good advice from Ned Halliwell, who's a professor at professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, or was at that time. Mm-hmm. And he advised me to just make sure our daughters felt connected to us. And it was really great advice. So a lot of this is very relevant in the home culture, too.